It's been a tough year for the Daily Illini, the student newspaper at the University of Illinois. Faced with financial problems, the DI's owner sought donations from alumni, sold their new campus town building, persuaded students to support them with a special fee, and finally stopped publishing on Fridays. College papers are also cutting back at Duke, Missouri, and San Diego State. The near-universal drop in newspaper advertising is hurting all of them. Can college papers adjust to a changing media landscape? I'm Jim Meadows. Today on Focus, we'll talk with Daily Illini publisher Lil Levant and Ron Johnson, Lil's counterpart at the Daily Student at Indiana University. Focus continues after the news. Welcome to Focus. I'm Jim Meadows. College newspapers serve two important services. They report news of their college campus and community, and they provide valuable experience for the students who work on them. But can those services continue when the business model of many college newspapers is no longer working so well? Unlike standard daily newspapers, most college papers are distributed free of charge, so they depend even more on advertising, and like other print media, they're seeing their advertising decline. College papers have been online for years, of course, but is that enough to keep them financially healthy? And do they still attract students when they compete with new hyperlocal social media? Well, that's the challenge facing our guests on Focus today. Neither of them are college students, not anymore anyway, but they both oversee college newspapers. Lil Levant is the publisher and general manager of Illini Media, which publishes the Daily Illini for the University of Illinois Urbana campus. Good morning, Lil.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for having me.
And Ron Johnson is with us on the phone. He's director of IU Student Media, and they put out the Indiana Daily Student at Indiana University at Bloomington. Ron, welcome to Focus.
Thank you. Good morning, Jim. Good morning, Lil.
Good morning.
And I was wondering, I saw in the Daily Illini yesterday the big ad for the recruitment event last night you
right.
had for students who might be interested in working at the Daily Illini and other Illini media projects like WPGU Radio and the Illio Yearbook. How did it go?
It went great. That was actually last night was the second of two events. The last one was held last week. We each night had over, well over 180, closer to 200 students at each event. And they stuck around and filled out applications, started interviewing for the various units that we offer. These are always a big hit, and we use these two events as a key part of our process to recruit students.
So in the ballpark of a couple of hundred each time, and out of that gathering, how many were interested in working on the newspaper, on the Daily Illini?
I would say that the majority of them were. Close second was WPGU, and then third, the Illio, apps and Buzz, actually. But mostly people want to work at the DI. They want to be reporting. They want to be editors. They want to do design work. There's so many different kinds of opportunities at the DI that are not so apparent in the end product, I think, including, you know, computer skills as well.
And we should say, if you're not familiar with it, the Buzz is the weekly arts and entertainment paper that the Daily Illini puts out. You could think of it sort of like the our own version of the Chicago Reader or, say, the Stranger in Seattle.
Exactly.
And Ron, I was wondering, you oversee the college newspaper at IU at Bloomington, but I understand you've also been active in larger organizations like the Western Association of University Publications Managers, people like you and Lil. So I gather you must hear about what's going on with other college campus publications.
Yes, we do. There are many different approaches to student media across the country, and each place has its own challenges, but it also has its own opportunities, which is really fun to watch.
And I'm wondering, how important are college newspapers to students these days compared to the past?
You know, I think they're vibrant, and they're important, and they're relevant. But they, like their commercial counterparts, are going through some rather seismic changes. You know, here at IU on the Bloomington campus, you know, we're so similar to the Illinois campus. I mean, we're in our second week of production. We've had a number of students who, you know, still very, very popular. They want to be part of the the Daily Student staff, the Arbutus Yearbook staff, our magazine staff. And of course, we have a number who are also very interested in the social media aspects of as well, because we have 5 Twitter feeds, Facebook. It's multimedia has grown in importance for us too. In that sense, you know, we're very much like Illinois and our counterparts across the country.
Well, if you have a question for our guests, you can call us toll free at 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-WILL. You can email us at will-talk@illinois.edu. Are you a student working on a campus newspaper now, or did you do so in the past when you were in college? We'd love to hear about what it means to you now, or meant to you then, and how working at a student newspaper in the past might compare to conditions nowadays. Besides the phone number and the email address, we also welcome your questions on Facebook and Twitter at Focus 580. And Lil, maybe that's something I can ask you about that Ron brought up, and the social media aspect, the use of Facebook, the use of Twitter feeds by the Daily Illini. Has that something that's taken a big role in recent years?
Absolutely. It's become key. And I would say that what the DI is trying to do is reach students that way by giving notice to articles that are going to go up online, giving news bulletins about the campus. They use the various social media to communicate that. It's almost a heads up to writing to our deeper coverage online or else in print. So it's a very, very useful and effective way of reaching our students. We have up to, I think, 15 different social media outlets right now, because of course we have our yearbook and we have the Buzz and we have the DI and WPGU. So they're all going all at once. They're becoming more and more popular. I believe on our Twitter feed we have about 8,000 to 10,000 active participants or people that hold the DI account, for instance.
And that's really a difference over the years. I mean, when I was in college in the 1970s, if I wanted to read my college newspaper, the Daily Egyptian at Southern Illinois University at Carbondale, yep, I went over to the nearest newsstand that had it and picked it up, and that was it.
Absolutely.
And now besides the print edition and the website for the newspaper, you have all these little really subcategories of social media to get content and to be reminded of content. Like about 45 minutes ago, the Daily Illini tweeted the Illini football announcement of the dismissal of sophomore running back, I'm going to mispronounce his name, Demi Ayula, and essentially refers you to the article in the Daily Illini.
Exactly.
Same thing for you, Ron?
Oh, I can so relate. I mean, I was a college yearbook editor and a college newspaper editor in the late 70s, early 80s. And then I became a part of this process in 1985. I became an advisor at my home university. I look back at the things that I did and the things that I've taught through the years, and it's almost fantastical in terms of the who would have ever thought the things that we would ask our students to do and they want to do. I mean,
well, that's the question I had. Who's pushing this? Did you come up in a meeting one day and say, "Hey, kids, I've got this great idea. Why don't we try this new thing called social media?"
Why, sure, yeah. I'll take the
No.
Right. Well, no, it's been fascinating. I mean, it's a combination of those of us like, you know, Lil and our advisors who want to open up opportunities for students. But, you know, our students are on internship across the country and in some cases around the world. And so they bring those interests and expectations back here. One of the things that's happening right now is, of course, you know, all of our students are we publish during the summer, but we have so many students on internship, and they come back and they're just on fire. You know, they're so excited to be back, and we love having them back. And so, you know, the things that they've done on internship, if it's even a reporting internship, you know, they're live tweeting coverage before they, you know, produce something quickly for the site. You know, they produce long form. You know, what's also fascinating is we've seen a resurgence of long-form reporting mm-hmm. here, which is so, it's almost like counterintuitive to this digestible, quick, fast.
And what's pushing that?
It's a combination of things. Our students have a high interest in it. We have a pretty strong academic interest here. You don't have to be a journalism major to be part of the Daily Student or Arbutus, but we have a pretty strong program for that here. And I'm seeing that in other locations, too. I mean, I'm seeing that in other commercial newspapers, too, where we try to offer something of substance and in contrast with the brevity that we offer. So it's a very fascinating time.
And maybe this is a good time to talk about exactly how college newspapers are set up, and I'm sure it differs from campus to campus, but with the both of you, you know, you're not published by the journalism department of the university.
No.
And you're not even part of the university.
No.
Well, we are. I mean, they're part of the different shades.
IU you are?
Well, we're what's called an independent auxiliary. We're a part of Indiana University. We are housed in the same building as the School of Journalism, but we have no academic ties, and we have very limited financial ties. We pay for our space. We receive no student fees. But each place is different, as Lil can attest to.
Right.
The Daily Illini is published by a company called Illini Media. Now, is this
correct.
A for-profit or a
nonprofit? It's a nonprofit. It started in, I believe, 1911. It's been around that much time. The Daily Illini actually has been publishing for 142 years. So under its wing are the entities we discuss, but it is separate from the university. There are no formal academic ties, although we do, of course, seek the guidance of some of our professors at given times, but there's no, aside from the student fee, which is new, there is no financial tie.
And you're actually off campus in private buildings in the campus town.
Yes,
area.
We are. We're in one building on Green Street, correct,
and
on one floor.
Since you're not part of the journalism department, are most of your employees journalism students at the DI?
Probably the majority, but I wouldn't say it's a huge majority. We have students from almost every area. We have students from Poli Sci, English, people from the art department. We have all sorts of students that, frankly, you know, we've had some pre-vet students and also some of our best writers are engineers. You know, it's a wide range of students that all want to do reporting or writing.
And is there any work at the newspaper, whether it's at yours at the DI or, Ron, yours at the Daily Student at Bloomington, that corresponds or is coordinated with coursework?
No.
Not in our shop, although you will see that in various locations. I think if I, just as an observation, the smaller the program, the more likely it's going to be tied to an academic unit in some fashion. But, you know, editorially independent, that's extremely common. Now, the exception to that would be the University of Missouri, which has both an independent college newspaper and a newspaper that's produced by the School of Journalism. So different variations.
Which do you think works better, the coming out of the School of Journalism or just being a separate publication?
Well, I think, you know, that's certainly a matter of opinion. I very much, of course, I came from a publication, you know, student publications that were editorially independent, and that hands-on experience, that trial by fire experience, you know, and I'm a classroom teacher as well, and I've taught editing and design for years, and I relish those opportunities, and I think it's just really good though for student journalists to have that independence to make those final decisions, right or wrong, and then stand behind them. I mean, that's the learning continues after publication.
I agree.
After things are posed.
Yeah, I agree. My experience is limited just to Illini Media. Around student-run publications, but I would say that there's a vibrancy and a passion about the students owning their own content.
This is Focus. I'm Jim Meadows, and we are talking about the present and future of college newspapers with Lil Levant from Illini Media, which publishes the Daily Illini for the University of Illinois, and Ron Johnson of IU Student Media, which puts out the Indiana Daily Student at Indiana University in Bloomington. Did you work on your college newspaper? Maybe you're doing it now. If so, or if you just have questions for our guests, call us toll-free at 1-800-222-9455. Or you can email your questions to WILL-talk@illinois.edu. The phone number again, 1-800-222-WILL. We talked a little bit about how your newspapers are situated in relation to the university. And the other question related to that is how you get the money to publish. I take it the Daily Student, Ron, like the Daily Illini, is a free publication?
Yes, it's open circulation. We don't like to call it free, although it's certainly free to pick up. But it's underwritten almost exclusively by advertising revenue.
How has the advertising revenue been going, say, in the past decade?
It's been decreasing. It's been a bit by bit kind of thing. Fortunately for us, I mean, I know that there are some like commercial publications. There are some collegiate publications. Through a variety of reasons, have had had some tough times. I mean, they may be situated in a metro area that's been hard hit, or in a particularly geographic region that's been hard hit. I think my observation through the years is that for those of us who are in, say, Midwestern states, the highs haven't been as high, but the lows perhaps have not been as low as in some locations, or at least maybe I'm just telling myself that as we ride the recession out.
But, well, are the problems recession based, or are the problems?
Oh, I think it's both.
Changing.
It's a combination of recession and changing technology, both.
And of course, both of you have moved into changing technology. Both of you have active websites.
Absolutely.
You were talking about your social media.
We absolutely do. We absolutely do. We have over 10,000, as I say, followers on the DI Twitter feed. We have so many followers on our various other feeds. But aside from that, we're always upgrading our technology. And just recently, we've revamped our mobile website for the purpose of communicating other stories aside from what's in the print content online, and also as a platform for advertisers.
Is the advertising revenue, can the advertising revenue from being online take the place of print advertising revenue?
Well, that's the big million-dollar question. I mean, that's the same question that the New York Times is asking and every single other media outlet.
Well, New York Times put a paywall up on their website. You're
right.
Not about to do that, I
Well,
take it.
No, we haven't thought about that for sure yet. However, we're definitely moving towards digital and bracing ourselves for the change. And by building our websites and all of our social media outlets, that's what we're doing, is preparing for that. Our slides have not been drastic on the display side, local display as much as in classified, so we're finding different ways to reach classified users as well. Enhancements are being made there. So we're working on this transition, absolutely. But as of now, for Illini Media, print revenue does represent the vast majority of our revenue, although we have found different revenue streams to help support us as well.
Ron, what's it like over at IU at Bloomington?
Well, I think Lil's key word for us is the past in terms of online revenue versus print revenue. 95% of our income comes from print advertising revenue. And so do we have opportunities for advertising? Absolutely, and we have, we've continued to grow advertising and online readership. But at the same time, we've also been very realistic in maintaining our print product, because that's an important part of how we reach people and also how we serve advertisers. You know, it's you have to cover the bases in a variety in all different areas. I mean, you simply cannot. Some folks have maybe had the philosophy of rushing to digital. We've promoted it and given our students opportunities, and we love it very much. But we also are realistic in terms of what it can and can't do at this particular point. And it certainly cannot underwrite all the services that we provide our readers, all the opportunities that we provide our students. So that's our situation right now.
Exactly. We're looking, since we are a nonprofit, of course, we are looking towards different revenue streams. We've didn't really do any active fundraising, for instance, from our alum until probably 6 or 7 years ago. And that is becoming a more significant aspect of our funding mechanism. And also, of course, the student fee. That represents 9% of our revenue. But that's a good start. We're really pleased and excited to have that. And it, in a way, it makes us even more accountable to the community we're trying to, we are serving. So we think it's a good thing.
One economy that both of your papers have taken, which surprised me, is that you dropped your affiliation with the Associated Press. I understand the Daily Illini now uses McClatchy Tribune, which
Correct.
I understand is costs less.
Correct.
And is probably not as comprehensive. I mean, whatever the quality of the articles, they don't cover every little nook and cranny the way the AP might have.
Well, I think they're just a different kind of forum, and we haven't found any. We haven't found them to be any substantial difference. We use both. We use the Newswire, frankly, when we have to. Our primary interest is having our students write stories, but there's always going to be a situation now and again where you're going to need to rely on different kinds of coverage aside from local coverage.
Ron?
We looked at it very, very carefully, as I'm sure the folks at Illinois did. On a per-price basis, it simply wasn't smart. I mean, it wasn't just as... I tell you what, let me say this, too. I love Associated Press, and we have alums who work there, and I rely upon it for news and information. And yet, when you look at the Indiana Daily Student, for example, our readers... We're getting their information elsewhere. I mean, they look to us for local news, local features, local opinion. And it's not that we don't bring national and state, national and international stories to us, but they try to localize those and offer the local perspective. And so, you know, it was difficult for us to do. It was a rather smooth transition because we just did not use it that much.
It does mean that you can't depend on it on a slow local news day or one reason your staff hasn't been able to come up with articles, you got to fill it. You can't fill it with AP.
Well, and we looked at it from a news judgment standpoint too, and so let's say an unfortunate national tragedy, another 9/11 or something like that. You know, what would we do? Well, we would reach out and we would find sources, and we could buy per piece even that would be significantly less, unfortunately, than AP would be. But even then, even in those toughest of news times, my students they want to localize the information and tell it from a local perspective. You know, what students did we have on the front lines of the Boston crisis, the Boston Marathon crisis, or folks who happen to be there or know folks from Boston. You know, so that's the immediate thing, and that was always a part of the coverage. But the overall coverage from AP was less used than it used to be.
And does that change how the newspaper is used, and perhaps in the larger community? Because I gather with AP coverage. With wire coverage, you always knew that there might be people in Bloomington who would read the paper because, well, it's free, it's there, it has a certain level of quality, and I can, find out the big national stories of the day.
Well, that's certainly a part of our process here. I mean, there are some folks that rely very heavily on the Daily Student, and we're thankful for those. Realistically, though, if that kind of news breaks, where are you going to go? You're going to go, well, for a while we were going to CNN and large television networks, but now we're pretty much going to mobile and we're going to Twitter and online, and those are our first resources of those kinds of news stories right now. Then it becomes important for us as local news providers to address that and focus upon that from a local perspective. I mean, how does that affect us here at IU or at Illinois? That's an important part of the training process for our students, because they're going to go on, if they do go into this business, and many of them still do, their one of their jobs is going to be to report on national news from a local perspective.
Yeah, I think what you're saying, Ron, is so accurate, and I think that one of the keys to our future success is really honing in on our audience. And you know, frankly, what you're talking about national coverage is so true. You know, if we can really think each time the students are writing stories about who their audience is and what they want to read, I think that puts us in a better position in our future. And I think that's one of the reasons why I would consider, you know, eventually focusing more and more and more exclusively on local coverage and on the campus community.
Now, there are times, though, I mean, we still give our, you know, from an internal perspective, we give our students opportunities to cover big news events. And I'm sure I know the folks at the Daily Line, I do the same thing. I mean, you know, they were with the election, the two elections of Barack Obama, you know, we've had with students on election night. I mean, that's kind of it's an IDS tradition, and I know it's an Illini tradition, and we get those students there. And once again, though, they're there on the front lines from a photographic standpoint, but they're looking for folks from home, from who are a part of that story.
Sure.
And that's so cool to watch. I mean, obviously, we still send folks around the country to cover sporting events and advancements, and you know, it doesn't matter on the sport. I mean, suddenly we were a baseball school at IU, which has been kind of fun, and so we're plotting ways to get our students to Omaha for a good stretch of time to cover the College World Series.
We're going to take a short break right now. When we come back, we'll talk to somebody on the phone from the Daily Illini Newsroom about the work he does putting out a college newspaper. This is Focus on WILL. Welcome back to Focus. I'm Jim Meadows, and we are talking about college newspapers with the publisher of the U of I's Daily Illini, Lil Levant, and director of IU Student Media, Ron Johnson, over at Indiana University in Bloomington. And joining us right now is on the line is the managing editor of the Daily Illini, Ryan Weber. Welcome to Focus.
Hi, thank you.
Okay, well, you know, we've been talking here about, you know, what it's like running a college newspaper today, working at a college newspaper. And that's the question I guess I'd want to bring to you. I don't know if you can compare back to a time when print media would have been supreme here and there was no electronic media, but how do you think that affects what you do with the DI and how people take in the newspaper?
Yeah, and I think you're exactly right. I have never known a time where I didn't get my news online, which is kind of the interesting dynamic that we work in now. But, I mean, there's always this kind of dichotomy between, like, digital and print these days, but I know that when we create content here, we are considering where it's going, but for the most part, we are just trying to, like, put out coverage that is, you know, fair and representative of exactly what we want to put out there, and it really doesn't matter the media so much, but what we have done in order to account for the different media that we have is that we have different elements that we would emphasize in different places. So in online, we might push for a little more interactive stuff, which would include more graphs, more photos. We've really started to push photo galleries because typically when people go to a site like this, we found that you know, our readers really enjoy seeing photo galleries of all the events that we're covering. But that's not necessarily something that we'd put in the print edition where we would emphasize more of the stories. So in terms of that, I mean, we are still doing our very best to create the content that people want to read, whether it's in print or online.
I'm wondering, Ryan, do you feel that there's more competition for a college paper for a student's attention? Are there other media out there that might be getting through some of the information that students are interested in that wouldn't have been there, say, 30 or 40 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, I think we are pretty acutely aware of competition between, you know, major national sites and even local news gatherers here. And while, you know, the competition's always there, it's not something that necessarily fuels what we do here. We are still trying to focus on our readers, not so much what other people are doing. And, you know, from time to time, if that means that, you know, we have the same story as four others, you know, we're going to do it in the way that we think our readers want it. So you come to the Daily Illini for a specific kind of content, for a specific type of story, and that is what we are going to try to put out there, regardless of, you know, what others are doing.
Is social media playing a role in news gathering? Are you finding out things from people's Facebook pages? Are there tweets that might have come through another means years ago?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Our editor-in-chief, Darshan Patel, constantly sends us tweets from, you know, the number of sports people here on campus. A lot of the athletes tweet about different achievements, whether it's a move or a change in whatever they're doing, and it helps to definitely get the ball rolling on a story, and it's a way that we can find out it about faster than we might have in the past. But not only are we using it to figure out about news stories, we're using it to push more of what we are doing. So, you know, we have really expanded across every social media network, and we're really trying to diversify what goes on each one and, you know, use them to their fullest advantage, because we have found that a significant amount of our web traffic comes through our social media accounts, especially Twitter and Facebook.
And I'm wondering, you know it's my bias where I have to check myself and before I start thinking that the real Daily Illini is the one that's printed on paper. is a byline to you online as good as a byline on paper?
You know, that's a really good question, because that is something that we are dealing with here, because I think when people come to work at the Daily Illini, part of the allure and kind of the magic of it is seeing that you have a physical copy of your name in print. But the thing is that I found that usually after, you know, one or two times of being in the print edition, the kind of magic wears off and you realize very quickly that you are more likely being read online and it's more permanent online. So a lot of our writers and photographers and stuff have started to realize that. And it makes it a lot easier online, too, when you have a byline online, because if you have a portfolio, it's very easy just to drop a link in instead of having to save 10 copies of the same clip and make sure that you can get them sent off where you need to if you ever need to do something like that. So, yeah, I mean, at first it's really, really cool to have your name in print, but, you know, it slowly becomes, well, you know, as long as my content's out there and I can still find it and people can still see it, then really that's what matters.
Okay. Ryan, I want to thank you for being for coming on the line to talk with us today. One last question. Did you work on your school paper in high school?
No. I actually kind of got a later start here than a lot of people did. I started here and doing the newspaper thing at the end of my freshman year. Most people start right when they get here on campus. But I only came here because I wanted some writing experience for law school, but I got sucked into this place and my entire career choice has changed. And
journalism, your road to riches, huh?
Yep, I guess you can say that.
Okay, Ryan Weber is the managing editor of the Daily Illini. And Ryan, thank you very much for being on the line with us on Focus today.
Thank you for having me.
Take care. And I asked Ryan, first of all, what I want to do is remind, welcome the rest of you to do what Ryan just did, and that's call us. Our phone number is 1-800-222-9455, 1-800-222-WILL, our email address, WILL-talk, will-talk@illinois.edu. But I asked Ryan about his high school paper experience because we've just had tweeted our way a column by Clarence Page in the Chicago Tribune. It's in today's Chicago Tribune, bemoaning the decline of high school newspapers. I'm wondering for both of you, Lil and Ron, is that something you notice? Do people not work on high school papers and not come to your papers with that sort of experience like they used to?
I have not noticed that, no. but I don't come from that point of view either. I got a real late start in student-run media about 2 years ago. My background is in journalism, but I on the business side of it, but I did not actually write for the newspaper in high school or have any experience with it.
Ron, what's it? What do you see out
there? We've not noticed that trend here either. I do know, though, from ties to groups such as Journalism Education Association, which is the National Association of High School Advisors, and also National Scholastic Press Association, that I think there are some there are budgetary concerns now. There are curricular concerns, as core subjects do battle with some of the more elective types of courses. And so I think those have been around for a while. I'd like to check out his column and see if he's offering a specific location. I've not heard of a wide national trend, and I would guess that if there were, I would hear from these organizations. But I think, you know, I think what's happening in commercial media and collegiate media, well, certainly, you know, it certainly already has its effects on scholastic media as well. I mean, print editions, some schools are relying more on online, too. It's the same kinds of things. They don't have the heavy reliance that we have on advertising, but they do have budgetary pressures that force them to look at more efficient ways to give their students opportunities and also to reach their readers.
Well, how does that affect either the quality of the people that come to you, the experience of the people who come to you to work on the paper, as well as the number of people who come in the first place?
Well, I mean, our students, you know, they're all from the University of Illinois, so there's a certain standard right then and there, and same with Indiana. So I have not found any kind of slip in quality, and we have many, many students like Ryan who don't necessarily have a journalism background or even a writing background that just do swell right out of the box. So I haven't seen our quality change. I do feel that our students are spread thinner and thinner. In other words, if we are emphasizing that the news, the website has to be different. It has to have different content than print. It has to be compatible, but not it should not repeat what's on in print. So there's more and more demands on our students in terms of coverage.
That sounds like what a lot of newspaper people are facing right now.
Yes.
Right. And it's you know, it used to be that we published during the academic year and we published some during the summer. But now, when news breaks over holiday break or at certain points in the late spring and in a late summer, you know, we scramble, and of course the students want to cover that. So it's you're on call a lot. I mean, it's the expectations are just significantly higher than I think they used to be quite honest. I mean, we used to think, oh gosh, you know, let's make this paper as great in terms of content as possible. And as Lil said, as Ryan said, you know, they try to do something differently every, you know, with you know, Twitter just takes a different approach at different times, you know, and then when you go online, you want to hurry and get information up as quickly as possible, but at the same time, verify it and rely upon sources that we value and trust. So it's a very dynamic situation right now. I will say this, and I from visiting the folks at Illinois, it's the same thing. You know, these students love this. I mean, we love it. It's contagious. It was so fun to hear Ryan mention that because, you know, you may be a journalism major and you maybe were part of a high school program or went to high school journalism camp, but you may not. I mean, you may just have friends who could lure you over here because you could edit copy. You knew something about grammar, or you want to write columns on pop culture, or you want to write opinions on news. And it's just fun to see this mix of people. It just rejuvenates me.
I was wondering about, and this is the case of another school in the Indiana University system, and maybe you can tell me what happened here. IUPUI, Indiana University, Purdue University at Indianapolis, had a student newspaper called the Sagamore.
Right.
And in 2009, it shut down.
And
do they have a paper now?
You know, we've not heard from them for a while. The journalism program there is a small one, and the academic aspect of journalism has been in a bit of transition at IUPUI, and that is what affected the Sagamore. Obviously a smaller paper. The students there launched another small newspaper that's an independent student activity. And I've met with them a couple of times, but I've not heard from them for a while, so I'll be real honest with you. I'm not sure what the current status might be.
I'm wondering about that now. When you're in a big city, sometimes they can affect the sense of a community on a college campus. But IUPUI, it's not a small school. It's about 30,000 students there.
No, it's not. And it's in a metro campus. It also has the interesting aspect of serving both IU and Purdue. And so you could actually get a Purdue degree from the campus. You can get an IU degree. I suppose conceivably can get both. And that's really one of the cool aspects of it. But with the journalism, that particular publication, which has had a great rich history, was tied to the journalism program. And as that evolved, and it's still in a bit of evolution, that was one of the casualties, I think.
Is that a unique situation, or have some colleges lost their student newspaper?
Not very many.
No.
Have, from my perspective, and I regret very much the IUPUI situation because of the rich history of the Sagamore. And I think there's that, one of the challenges that I see there is that a student body identity within an urban campus with split programs the way that is. And so the Sagamore, I think, offered that identity, and I really hated to see that loss. But I don't see that playing out across the country. Lil, do you?
No, not at all. I think papers are – I think that probably was an anomaly, although I'm not familiar with it. I'm just thinking about Columbia College in Chicago that has one of the better, really, really great content in its paper. So,
right.
That's a small school, a relatively small school in an urban environment, of course.
Does it have a community of students living on the campus or close to campus, or is it a commuter school?
They now have both. They have more and more, from what I understand, they have more and more residents at Columbia College.
And I tell you what, I need to let you know, too, that both of the But the student yearbook and the student newspaper at my alma mater no longer exist.
Hmm.
And the publications were not the priority of the administration.
Your alma mater is?
My undergraduate alma mater at Fort Hays State University in western Kansas. University. And the administration just went a different direction and didn't nurture the – and the smaller the program – be quite honest, the more important it is to have strong, steady leadership from an advisor. The we advisors and administrators are the folks who are the institutional memory and the long-term kind of support. And not that our current students don't do great stuff, but we help bridge the gaps and provide the longevity and help rejuvenate the programs. And if that's not offered or provided, it really has no function of has nothing to do with the current situation. That's just an important component of this of a successful program.
Do you think it's healthier? And of course, your two papers are in this situation where you're either separate from the university or have a pretty clear wall separate from the academic departments.
Absolutely. I think it's helpful. I think it's critical. I mean, what we're doing here is really serving our student community. And I think it's just a lot. It has a lot to do with pride and morale of the paper, that they're actually building this out themselves each day. One thing we haven't exactly defined in this show is that we are as advisors, we do not have prior review. We never know what the content is of any publication until once it's printed. And I think that's the beauty of it. We see the mistakes, we see the achievements, and we can certainly offer guidance after the fact. But this is the student publication, and I think there's separation between us as advisors and the student body and the students that are working at the DI. And certainly there needs to be separation from the administration.
I wholeheartedly agree, and it's counterintuitive to some folks who think that an advisor should be making these decisions, but I'm sorry, the best education comes from that editorial independence. where our students, I mean, you know, it's not as if our students at either location work in a vacuum. I mean, we have advisors, you know, they rely on folks who have experience. We have alums who are informal, you know, advisors. You know, they don't just make these random decisions themselves. That's not to say they're perfect. You know, they're gonna make some decisions that you know, one of the things that I do each day is critique the paper and critique Twitter and critique all those kinds of things. And you know, they're not producing that paper to please the administration or to please me even. I mean, they're the ones who take great pride in it, and that's how they learn.
This is Focus. I'm Jim Meadows, and there's still some time for your questions and comments about college newspapers with Lil Levant of the Daily Illini and Ron Johnson, who oversees the students who put out the Indiana Daily Student at IU Bloomington. Our phone number is 1-800-222-9455, or you can email us at will-talk@illinois.edu. I want to go on the line and talk to Ken from Champaign on line one. Good morning. You're on Focus.
Hi. Just a couple issues here. One is in terms of the change. It seems to appear that a lot of the students today want to make some kind of contribution to society. In other words, they're not into just making lots of money, but in other words, what they can, their contribution, you know, more of a social part. Do you see that happening here on your campuses?
Well, I can't speak for the whole student body, but I would say that the people that I work with, the students that I encounter, the students that are all around us at the Daily Illini and all of our entities are very, very focused on making a positive difference in this world. That's primarily why they're there.
And it's also why they work such long hours. My gosh. I mean, they're here. They're here all the time.
Well,
no, not all the time, but man, they put in long hours and they do it for that love of service.
Absolutely. Our DI, you know, last night they finished publication around 1:30 in the morning. That's probably why they haven't called in that much this morning. But, you know, that's pretty much their schedule, and they're very, very dedicated to it.
Okay. And the next point is that there's always been a criticism of, you know, journalism that rather than giving the readers what they want, what they need. So is there any, do you see any of this happening, you know?
Well, I think it's an interesting balance, you know. I mean, it's very complicated. You want to give the readers what they think they want, but you also want to give them what the paper thinks will inform them. And so maybe they don't know what they want all the time. So it's an interesting balance, I think. Yes, obviously for circulation purposes, for advertising purposes, for the content to be read, it has to be compelling. But we also have a sense of responsibility about covering and being kind of the watchdogs of this community. And, you know, there aren't all that many people that may care about that. But that is a very, very significant role for journalism.
What about the comments from Indiana at all? Or
Ron?
I'm sorry, once again?
Yeah, in terms of the want and need, the idea that, you know, the criticism in journalism, Ben, is that many times it's too much want.
Right. I think that's a valid observation, and it's been a part of the work that my students have done for many years. I mean, it's not a new phenomenon. There's just many more ways to try and balance that. I mean, I think it's a part of either consciously or unconsciously about everything that these students do. I mean, we were sitting in a meeting last night, and they're working on ways to improve our site, for example. And some of this, you know, basic stuff like how is it navigated, you know, what forms are more important, whether it's, you know, whether it's longer form stories or photos or multimedia. And so they're grappling with all these things. And then we had a lighter moment, too. It's like, well, maybe we should just give everybody cat pictures all the time. Well, and boy, isn't that just go to the heart of what you're talking about right now? I mean, does everybody just want to see cats and kitties and puppies, you know? And it's like, no, that's, you know, they all, you know, they kind of laugh about it, but that's, but it really is part of their decision-making process. Even when we're doing things like our weekend section, which is pop culture and is lighter. I think even on our opinion page, which sometimes embraces very tough subjects, but also does lighter kinds of things and, you know, lighter features and things like that are a part of this. So, at what point do you lose your credibility when you rely simply on cat pictures, although there have been cats in the IDF on occasion. So it's an interesting question, but it's something that they grapple with all the time.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Ken. I'm going to try to draw you out very quickly because we're in our last minute on the show. But the question that comes by an email from Jim, wondering, how does all of this play out 5 years down the road? What will all of this look like? I'm listening to this online, not on the radio. He writes, I dropped my subscription to the Peoria Journal Star. I'm old, and I have converted to all online. So paint the future for Jim, he asks. What's going to happen to organized mass media like a college paper when you're up against when you're up against blogs and tweets and people's Facebook pages?
Oh, boy. Ron?
but that just goes to the heart of this whole conversation.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, we're doing our best to give our students, our own students, opportunities to serve readers. All right. And so that means that the same mix that we've built in print and online and in social media, that's certainly going to continue. That said, you know, there are very tough financial decisions that we have to collaborate upon and make as a group on where the resources are coming from and how best to use those resources.
Sure.
And so that strategy is going to have to continue for a while. I think as a consumer, you know, we've trained folks to get their information at little or no cost. I'm not sure for how much longer that will continue. I mean, you talked about the New York Times paywall. There are some more newspapers that are going that direction, and within 5 years, might that happen? That very well might happen.
And yeah.
I'm sorry. We're going to have to cut it off now.
Sure.
I'm very sorry, Lil Avant, but thank you very much for being on the
My
program
pleasure.
Now.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Lil Avant is the publisher of the Daily Illini at dailyillini.com, and Ron Johnson is the director over at the Indiana Daily Student at idsnews.com. This is Focus on WILL.